Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Okay. Job said this in chapter 23, verse number 3. He said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Job said, "I wish I knew where I could find God at." Job's in a pursuit of God. You that knows the story of God or knows the story of Job knows everything that's going on. Knows how Job's practically lost everything. He's lost his family. All 10 of his children are dead. In one conversation, one man coming to his house, he loses all 10 of his children. He practically loses all of his finances, and I know that the money is not everything, but you got to have it to live. Job loses every bit of that because of the cattle and the she-asses and the oxen, all those things that he has. Job loses every bit of that. All in chapter number 1, he loses every bit of that. Chapter 2, his wife says, "Curse God and die." He's got boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. The next chapters leading up to chapter 23, his friends come around him. His friends discourage him. His friends try to say that Job's living in sin, and that's the reason he's going through what he's going through, when the reality of it was there was not a better man in that day than Job himself. The Bible even said that Job was a perfect man and eschewed evil. Job was a man that loved God. Job was a man that, if I could preach it in our dispensation, I'd say it this way. Job was a man that came to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He was here for youth revival. He was running the grill on Wednesday. He's here for Sunday school. Job was a man that was in the middle of everything to do with serving God, yet trouble still come in his life. Just because we're saved and just because we're serving God, and I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on this, but I will say this. I'll say a whole lot more about it tomorrow. I don't know a better man in the country than Robert Potts. I'm just being honest with you. He's been a deacon for 18 years at our church. There's never been one time, there's never been one minute, there's never been one ounce of trouble that Robert Christy Potts has ever caused Amazing Grace Baptist Church since I've been here. I don't know of a man that witnesses more, that talks about the Lord more, that talks to more people. If you know RP, you know what I'm saying. Yet in the middle of serving God, boy, a storm came in his life. And a lot of times it's when we're serving God at our best, can I just say it that way, that trouble hits us. And that's where Job's at. And Job comes to this point and he says, "Man, I wish I knew where I could find God." Have you ever been there before? Can I say this to you? If you've never been there before, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but if you've never been there before, there's probably going to come a day that you're right here. I wish I knew where I could find him. I wish I knew where God was at. We know that God is omnipresent. We know that he's everywhere at the same time, and at the same time he's everywhere. But I believe you understand what I'm saying today. There's times that, boy, we're really wanting to hear from God, and it seems that God, where are you at? Sometimes it's our fault, but not all the time. Job, I don't think it's Job's fault that Job is in the place that he's at. He goes on to say this, "I would order my cause before him," in verse number 4, "and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me." Job said, if I could just talk to God, I know what God would do. I know that God would help me. I know that God would strengthen me, but it just seems that I can't find God. It goes on to say in verse number 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. He says, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And I just talked to you about this for just a minute. What to do when it seems that everything's going wrong in your life? What do I do when it seems that everything is going wrong in my life? You know, some days we wake up and it seems that nothing goes right in our life. Has anybody ever had one of those days? Job is having one of those years. Matter of fact, the book of Job, you'll find that it covers the span of 1 year of his life. And Job just didn't wake up and have a bad day. Job woke up and had a bad month. Job woke up and had bad months. Job had a bad year. But what did Job do when everything was going wrong in his life? There will be those times, I hope you're hearing me today, that will come like that. There will be. You say, preacher man, I come to get encouraged, not be discouraged. Stay with me. There will be those times when we don't understand everything. Somebody said this not long ago. They said, I just don't understand God. And I said this to them. The Bible said, his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. If we really could understand God, then how big of a God would God really be? If we really did know his ways in the way that he is referring to right here, how big would God really be? No, I don't understand his ways. I don't understand why things have to be the way they are sometimes. Can I say this? It's one of two things. It's of God or it's of Satan. Matter of fact, if you go back to chapter number 1, when Satan is trying to mess with Job, God said this, or Satan says this to God, hast thou not built a hedge around him? The only way Satan can, if we're saved by the grace of God, the only way Satan can get in our hedge to mess with us is one of two ways. If God lets him in, or if you let him in. God led Satan in Job's hedge, but many today are facing uncertainties in their life, not because God ordained it, but because of what they have done themselves to bring Satan into their hedge. But can I say this to you? No matter if you let him in or God let him in, the scripture still stands firm. If you're his child, he'll help you. What did I do, preacher? Well, look what he says. He says this in verse number 10. Verse number 8 and 9, he's looked all around him, and he says this in verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. What do you need to do when it seems everything's going wrong? If you got it wrote down, you've got it in your Bible. Number 1, look what he said, but he knoweth the way that I take. You need to remember the omnipresence of God. Remember the on. You may not know where God's at, but God knows where you're at. You may not understand what's going on in your life, but God knows what's going on in your life. And there will be days that you think that God is nowhere around you, that you feel that God is not within 1,000 miles of you. But I promise you, you can take it to the bank. God knows exactly where you're at. Hear me today. I'd rather for me not to know where God was at than God not know where I was at. God knew where I was at when I was formed in the womb of my mother. God has not lost track of me one time. God knows where we are at. Remember the omnipresence of God. God knows where we're at. You've heard me give the illustration before, but let me give it to you again. You remember the story of the little Indian boy, and the old story is that when they turned 13 years old, the Indians was taken out into the woods, and their father would leave them in the woods, and they had to spend the night in the woods by themselves. That little boy was 13 years old. He was took out in the woods, and he was left by himself that night. And all night long, man, he didn't sleep. He was worried that something was going to happen to him. And all night long, he just sat there. He tossed and he turned, man. His mind would not relax. His body would not relax. He was worried about what was going to happen. That morning, just before daybreak, he heard something. The old story goes on to say that there was a bear had slipped into where he was at. That little boy seen that bear just as it started to break daylight that day. And he thought, man, I have made it out here all night long. It's starting to break daylight, and now I'm going to be killed by this bear. I've made it this far, and now I'm going to die just at daybreak. And off in the distance, he heard a gunshot, and that bear run off, and his dad come walking up. And the little boy looked at his dad, and he said, Dad, you got here right on time. All night long, I was all right, but you showed up right on time. And the daddy looked at the little boy and he said, what you don't understand, son, is that all night long I was hid over there behind that tree and I was watching everything around you. I was not going to let anything happen to you. It may seem that we can't see God and we haven't heard from God, but I promise you, if you're his child today, he knows exactly where you're at. Remember the omnipresence of God. Number two, look what he said. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Realize the outcome of trials. The outcome of your trial has a lot to do with you. The outcome of your trial. He said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You know what Job was saying right there? Job was saying this. Job was saying that at the end of this thing, I'm still going to be right. That at the end, and it's very interesting, without going into a lot of details, Job's probably the oldest book of the Bible. Now, understanding the canon of the scriptures, it's laid out with Genesis first, but Job was probably the first book that was ever written in the Bible. There's no law in the book of Job, and several other things point us that this is probably the first book that's ever written. And hear me right here. Job don't have a Bible that he's reading. Job don't have a man of God, quote unquote man of God, preaching to him, or a church that he's going to. But Job said this back in chapter 19. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Something inside of Job. Hey, can I tell you what it was? It was God Almighty that was omnipresent to him, was letting him know that everything was going to be all right. Remember the outcome of trials, or realize the outcome of trials. A lot of that has to do with you. Here's what happens many times. A storm hits somebody's life, they run to God. When they don't get the answers they want, they run away from God. Storm hits somebody's life, they run to God, want everybody to pray, but then when everything's all right, all of a sudden they don't need God no more. And they wonder why things just keep on a downward spiral and over and over and over again. I'm telling you, if you're the child of God, you're not going to live in this world continually and the chastening hand of God not come upon you. Realizing the outcome of trials is this. A lot of it depends on you and what you do in your storm. Said he, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, gold is refined through fire. Matter of fact, one writer gave an illustration like this years ago. I was reading after it, and he said this. He said, a lot of people would drive through an area, and it looks like nothing. It looks like the ground is no good. Everything around there is no good. But there'll be a gold refiner that comes through and will begin to dig. And in the dirt and in the muck and in the mire that nobody sees anything in, he realizes that there's gold in that. that. So he'll continue to work that. And then he'll take that that everybody else sees nothing in, and he'll rescue it from what it was in, and then he'll put it into a fire, and he'll melt it down. And as it's melted down, the impurities come up. And here's the way they say the refiner knows when it's pure gold. They pull the impurities off of it, and they see their reflection in the gold. It's like a mirror that they look into. You see, the world probably saw nothing in you, but there was a God that saw something in you and took you out of the muck and the mire, and now has placed you in the fire. He knows what you can take. He knows what you can go through. And all he is simply trying to do is mold you into what he wants you to be. Realize the outcome of trials. Remember the omnipresence of God. Number three, I'm done. Look what he says in verse 11. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Preacher, what do I do? Well, you remember the omnipresence of God. Number two, you realize the outcome of trials. Number three, here it is. You remain obedient to God's word. What did he say? He said, I wanted his words more than my necessary food. And I find that so interesting. I've already said this. Job don't have a Bible. Job don't have 66 books to read. But you know what he's saying? Evidently, him and God have spent some time together, and he's heard the voice of God. And here's what he says. I know the voice of God, and I cling to his words more than anything else. I can tell you what to do. Miss Tanya's coming to start playing in the darkest moments of your life, and it's this. Get in this book, and whatever it says, do it. Can I say it again? You say, preacher, I thought you was going to give me something deep. I am. Get in this book. He said, man, I've got to have the words of God. Let me tell you what's going to help you through the dark moments of your life. It's this book right here. People will come and people will go. Do you hear me? People will come and people will go. On Thursday night, we was at the cabin with all the kids, and they had to talk about one thing that they feared, and then they had to talk about one thing that they would change about themselves if they could change something. And Olivia, our middle daughter, said this. I'm not saying it verbatimly, but in a nutshell, here's what she said. I wish that I could trust people more than I do. You know what she was saying? She was saying this. As a pastor's kid, growing up as a preacher's kid for 18 years, seeing people turn their back on my parents and hurt my dad and mom the way that they have, it's hard to trust anybody. It's hard to know if they really are real. You listen to what I'm fixing to say. People will come and people will go. Friends will come and friends will go. People will hurt you. Those that you think loved you the most sometimes will be the quickest ones to stab you in the back. But hear me and hear me well. I've got a word that's never changed and never will change. And I'm telling you what you do when everything is going wrong in your life, get off of Facebook, quit talking to everybody else, and get along with an omnipresent God and get in his book. And realize that this book is what's going to bring you through. This book is what's going to bring you through. Oh, that I knew where I might find it. I don't know. I'm telling you, man, I got a message I wanted to preach about out of 2 Timothy, and I will one day. I just couldn't get away from that. I don't know where you're at. I know where some of you's at. I don't know where everybody's at. But I do know this, God's right where he's always been. He's not went anywhere. And I promise you, if you'll just run to him, he's standing there waiting on you. I had a guy ask me this week. He said, preacher, He got saved in 2016. Got saved in the Burlington Revival in 2016. When it was still in the building before it went to the tent. He said, "Preacher, I know this guy well. I've known him since before then." He said, "Do you really think that I could get back to where I was at in 2016 when I got saved?" He's been out of church. He's been out of the will of God. His life's just been a little bit of a mess. And here's what I said. It was very simply. Absolutely. God's not went nowhere. God's not went anywhere. When we don't know what to do, what do? We remember He's there. We realize the outcome of our trials depends on us. And we remain obedient to this Word. Father.